Show me your kitchen, the heart of your home. Sit me, serve me, feed me, baby, no, I hate to eat alone.
We know the kitchen is where it all goes on. We chew the fat, make all of life's big decisions, and eat straight from the tin when no one's watching. Join me, Anna Barnett, as I head straight to the heart of our guest home, where I swoon over interiors. I'm impressed by the sheer scale of a fridge and cover the most organized of freezers. We dig deep, discuss career highs, career lows, condiment shelves, and so much more. There's of course plenty of serious food chat. Each week we'll finish things off with our guests' best sandwich efforts and possibly a snoop in their fridge. This week's guest grew up part of rock and roll royalty. She is fabulous, she is outspoken, shockingly honest, and has a laugh like no other. She and her family are known the world over from music to reality TV via theatre, acting, dancing, writing, and presenting. Today's brilliant guest joins us from the dizzy heights of Los Angeles. Kelly Osbourne, welcome to The Filming.
Hi!
Hi! I've not done one of these on computer and headphones. But
this is the first time I have done this with someone in the UK.
Ooh.
So this is
new. Well, thank you very much for joining us. And I'm excited to see that you're in your kitchen.
I am in my kitchen. Anna, I thought you were going to be so impressed with me because I was like, you know what? I'm going to make my kitchen so fun. And I made it pink. And then I just think it looks like the influencer wall that everyone goes and takes pictures with.
You can really open up the door, earn some extra cash, and let people come in, use it.
Yeah.
How has life been of late? Let's start with that.
The day we went into lockdown here was the day I was supposed to move into my apartment. So I spent 6 months living in an empty house with just my bed and a few kitchen appliances so that I could cook. And then it took so long to move in because they have COVID rules with how many people can be in an elevator, how many people can be in the building. And it took me a full year to move into this place. And I'm like, it's been quite a nightmare.
So before we talk about your multifaceted career, the possibility of the Osbournes returning to our screens, and what you put into your go-to sandwich, let's start with how things are for you in the kitchen right now. You tell me you're cooking. Talk to me. What's going on?
Okay, so one of the things during quarantine, like everybody else, I was like, I'm going to learn how to cook.
So I went through sourdough, the banana bread. Did you go that far?
No.
Okay.
No. Anything people were doing, and I was like, I don't, you know me. Yeah. Everyone's doing it. I ain't doing it. Even if I really want it, because everyone's doing it, I'm like, nope. So that didn't really happen. But I learned how to make English food that I miss.
Oh, go on.
So like Yorkshire puddings and shepherd's pie and all the things that like I couldn't get my hands on.
Yeah.
And then I would figure out then how to make it in a healthier way.
Oh, okay.
So in a shepherd's pie, instead of using minced beef, I used lean minced turkey and different spices so that it, and add more vegetables to it. So yeah, it's a little bit better for you.
Yeah, I am very impressed with this. So
I know your face is like, why are you doing it?
What?
Come on. And like, there's little things that I have learned. Because throughout all of quarantine, I was vegan the whole time.
Right. Okay. Because this, I was going to ask you about this.
So what I did was I ordered like one of those meal prep companies that delivered all the food, and it was in portioned out, ready to cook. Kind of like Blue Apron. I don't know if you have it there or Easy Fresh.
Yeah.
But it's vegan. And I just followed the recipes every day. And before I knew it, I was just doing it without it. And I didn't need...
That's so good.
The stuff anymore, but it really helped me lose a lot of weight. The way that I started was 10,000 steps a day.
10,000 steps a day, vegan, pre-ready made meals.
And I had to make them. The ingredients was fresh. I still had to cook it. But I would literally put miles down walking around my kitchen counter.
Just around the kitchen?
All day long. What? Yeah, because you couldn't go outside.
Yeah, of course.
And so then I was like, oh, okay, what can I do with myself? I'm so bored. So I was like, okay, I'm going to turn this into a health thing, because my brother had his family in his house.
Yeah.
My sister quarantined with my parents, so I was alone. And so I was like, no one's watching me. I'm just going to do this.
That's amazing. Well, because I was kind of going to ask you a bit more about that in terms of
I guess this whole period has really been, like, I think for so many people, an opportunity to slow it down, and some people maybe not, but to also, I guess, recalibrate their lives and just, and kind of take better care of themselves, you know, have time to cook and to bake, or to, you know, meditate, or to exercise more frequently. And, you know, people aren't commuting to work. People are kind of living a bit of a, you know, hopefully more balanced life.
It went one way or the other.
Totally. Totally.
You either sat at home and ate your face off,
yeah,
or you decided to change things.
Totally.
I still can't believe that last year even happened and we are where we are.
It's just too mental to even comprehend, isn't it?
It sucks for everybody, and that's what people need to remember. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, life is difficult. So try and be kind.
I do think the being kind, being considerate, understanding that everybody's probably got something going on is the tack to take. In terms of your kitchen space, talk to me, how much time are you currently spending in there? Is it the heart of your home? Is it the hub of your home?
Right now it has become the heart of my home because I have a friend staying with me, and he actually introduced me to the guy that I'm seeing. We do this thing called family dinner, and we all cook something different, a different dish, and eat dinner, and I have the biggest dining table. So
okay.
Each week it revolves around family dinner and who's doing what. And it's people that are I have a quarantine bubble.
Right, okay.
So the people in our quarantine bubble, we don't see anyone else outside of it.
So how many people are you allowed in that bubble?
So it's literally like my friend and his girlfriend. So there's five of us.
Okay.
So, but we don't see anyone else outside that bubble.
Right.
And we like check on each other. And if you have seen someone, you can't come back in for four. Like, it's like you are out. Or you have to get tested. And it's crazy. I don't see my parents without having a COVID test.
I feel like that's the responsible thing to do though, because why would you risk it? You just wouldn't.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Not with my dad.
No. And okay, I'm going to ask quickly, how is he?
He's doing good. He has taken up swimming, so he's so tan.
Oh.
And I can't remember since like the 90s ever seeing my dad with a tan. Someone was like, look at you, you bronze god.
Oh.
He's like, and he's changing his hair, and I really love his new hair because he's finally letting his natural gray come through.
Oh, okay.
And
how old is he now?
73,
okay.
This year, 72.
That's still within a reasonable age range.
But he looks so good. He's got the most perfect color silver hair you have ever seen. It's like,
I think goals. I've got those coming through here.
Like, goals.
Like really stunning silver gray. I keep saying to my friends, I'm like, what do you do with that? I'm like, other than pluck them out. I was like, I'm just going to start shaving.
Oh, no, tell you what you
just
do.
Start shaving these patches here.
No, you just get a Sharpie and colour it in.
Do you know, Sloane told me about that.
Yeah, like, you just do it with a Sharpie.
But I was like, is that a permanent mark? I can't be doing that every day.
That's what I used to do when I had my hair black. Remember, we'd do the Sharpie in the roots.
Oh, yeah, I totally didn't ever think of that. Okay. Well, you know, just another female struggle. I will carry on.
Just get the little thingy that electric thingy that gets rid of it.
Get a razor. Do you mean a razor? A blade?
No, it's like this, like, I got it in a gift bag and it...
I can't start that. It's like, starts coming back darker. I got laser.
Or you can thread it.
But does it still come back darker?
No.
Okay. Okay, one of the things that I always find is that cooking for me is quite meditative. I recently heard that you had started to meditate, and
yes.
For me, I did like a Vedic meditation course a few years back and made Tom come with me, my husband, and that was all a whole other story, which was hysterical and embarrassing. But
I wish I could have been a fly on the wall for that.
No, you really don't, because he has a really big beard, and that his kind of spiritual moment kind of started in his beard. He had this full head tingling and went all, like, he had this real moment of like awakening. It was like full body encompassing. He woke up. So that was interesting. But for you,
how saw the light.
Oh, yeah, there is no bringing him back. But for you, how has it been? Because you speak about ADHD, all of these kind of things going on. Has this been
so
a really amazing thing?
I'm an addict. I'm an alcoholic. I have ADHD and OCD. So when I am allowed to be left on my own with my own thoughts, I am a fucking crazy person,
right.
Like insane. I can convince myself of things that have never happened, and I have arguments with people, and then I'm mad at them, that and they've said words to me in my mind that they've actually never even said or thought, right. And then I'm just like, ah. I took the 30-day course on the Calm app, and by the end of it, like, it becomes my favorite part of the day, yeah. And I don't know what happens. I know what Tom's talking about with that.
Did you get like the kind of tingly hands, the full?
It kind of get like this like wave of almost goosebumps that starts, and
yeah,
it just is a time that I can just give myself.
Yeah,
and I didn't realize how it would then trickle effect on everything in my life.
Yeah,
because I used to be like, oh, meditating, not doing that. Who can sit still for that long?
And but it's a crazy thing that you actually like to learn. It is something you have to kind of commit to and focus on doing. It sounds like a really bizarre thing to, like, I'm going to learn to sit still and think about not much. And like, who is learning to do that? But you do, and it's like a really amazing. I found it to be so like such a big game changer for just clarity, focus, calmness, like just feeling like just taking some time out.
It starts to make you realize what you need to work on and what areas in your life still may need a little bit of help. Yeah. And it really helps with sleep.
Do you think that off the back of rehab, that you have actually had a real shift in terms of how you prioritize wellness and well-being and mental health and, you know, how important it is to invest in those things?
I'll tell you right now, I was very lucky that I had the opportunity to go down the roads that I've gone to in recovery. It is an expensive road.
Right.
And I acknowledge that. And I took 3 years off work and used every single bit of my savings I had left to pay for. Literally, I was in therapy every single day for the first year.
That is such every a crazy day. Commitment.
Because I was like, you know what? If I don't do this, if I don't give myself this one chance.
Yeah.
I'm done. Recovery really is a beautiful thing, and it's not a perfect road, and mine is not paved in gold and can be very messy at times. And it's just, if you fall, you pick yourself back up and you start again.
Do you feel like now you have not to make this all about kind of mental health and wellness, but do you feel like you know, things have really shifted and that's the center of your recovery?
It is, but I also know how quickly things can go the other way. The pendulum shifts very fast. Right. It shifts in the wrong direction in lightning speed.
Right.
It takes a while for it to get to the, it's a slow and steady.
Yeah. But you're still sober at the moment. And like, is that what, 3-4 years?
3.5 years.
That's so amazing. That really is really, really brilliant.
I didn't want to be that person.
You don't need it. Like, you don't need, like, I think for some people, you know, they come out of their shell or, like.
But it was also admitting that, like, and I needed a bit of extra help too. Yeah. Like, I fought going on antidepressants my whole life. I was really English about it in the sense that I'm like, I'm not a crazy person. I don't need antidepressants. Right. I took it and it, like, was the final piece of the puzzle for me. It was like, oh, I don't have to wake up and feel like this every day. Yeah. Like there is something that I can do to put myself in a better place.
Yeah.
But this is how messed up I am. In the sense that I'm like, oh, I feel great now. I don't have to take that.
Yeah, of course.
And then everyone's like, you feel great because you're taking that. Don't stop taking it.
Yeah.
And there's been a couple of instances where I'm like, I don't need it anymore. I don't want to take it. And I've gone.
Right. Okay. But at least you're kind of aware of that. I know. Yeah. One of the things, I mean, not obviously in the same realm at all because I haven't battled drink and drug addiction, but one of the things that I just thought was worth touching on with you, and because I think it had such a profound impact for my life, is like the power of positive and being able to reprogram your mindset and
You may be the most positive person I know, better on it.
Oh, I love that.
I just remember every morning you walking in and just being like, all happy. And I'd be like, I'm not doing it. I'm not getting out of bed. And then all I would hear is, tink, and it would be the plate with a sandwich on. I'm like, okay, I'm up.
So I feel like I wasn't really going to mention this because I didn't really know what, like, where to mention it. But just to put this into context, I worked for you for maybe a year.
Mm-hmm. But Anna was not just somebody that worked with me. You were like my best fucking friend. We did everything together with Lucy and the things that I put you through. Like, first of all, I am sorry.
Oh, what for? We had a great time.
It was madness. Like, I still find post-it notes from the boxes because I'm going through all my storage now when I've moved into this place of, like, the notes that you would leave me and, like, cooking is confidence and then all the stuff on prudence and, like...
Well, cooking is confidence, and we will get to that again. I'm going to sign you up for some personal Zoom classes. We can really take you to level
yes!
two. you kind of touched on this a little bit before. I feel like you're looking like amazingly in shape, and I know everybody is talking about this, and we're really not going to go on about this. But
isn't it crazy how I've done terrible fucking things in my life and I've been such a douchebag, but the minute I lose weight, it's all they care about.
It's crazy, but do you feel amazing?
She feels good, I'm not gonna lie. You know what it is? It's that I'm at that age where, like, women start to, like...
The skin under my chin has dropped.
Mind you, I want chinlets so bad. That would be, if I ever got any sort of plastic surgery, that would be the first. And it's not because my skin's dropped, it's because I lost so much weight, I have a bit of saggy skin.
No, you don't. You've always had very good skin on your face. But all of a sudden, it just kind of, it was like, I think 28 came, and that's when I started to see a bit of difference. And then progressively, I'm like, what is this? You know? I don't appreciate it.
Well, I've been doing lots of research on that. If you would like me to send it your way.
Do we want to talk about going vegan? I've kind of said you did a fairly long stint going vegan.
So the vegan thing for me...
What was the impetus other than weight loss? Was it a mindset? Is it an ethos?
It's the animals.
Okay. And
I care about the animals. I don't know what happened in the last, I want to say 3 years, a switch happened where I can't put meat in my mouth. I put it in my mouth.
Vegan?
And I'm predominantly vegetarian.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I can't eat the flesh anymore.
It's a weird one.
It freaks me out.
What's the last dish that you cooked?
Shepherd's pie.
And what's the one dish I taught you?
Sandwich.
Cal, I tried to teach you how to make a shepherd's pie and brownies.
No, I know. I'm just teasing you. You taught me how to make the perfect sandwich, but it was shepherd's pie. I only know how to make shepherd's pie because of you.
Okay, well, good. That's the correct answer. I'm curious. Do you host? What's the chance of getting a dinner invite around at yours?
We do. I try... Like, with my bubble, we have a dinner every week.
Do you?
But,
Are you, like, laying the table? Like, what's the...
So, I do...
You know, cleaning the floor.
Can't stand dirty dishes, so I have to do the dishes.
Okay.
Well, like, if you've something, I clean it, because then that way it gets through my kitchen easier. Because I've got a narrow kitchen. And, then the one thing that I'm always in charge of making is the mashed potatoes. You can, if you're vegan, do it with vegetable broth.
Okay.
And
butter?
It just gives the... See, I have butter and butter substitutes, so it depends who's at the house and who wants it.
Oh, God, I just don't know that I can substitute butter for a non-butter butter.
Some of them are getting really good, I can't lie.
Oh, really?
Like, so, yeah.
I've tried quite a lot of vegan cheeses, and I guess that's... Like, they're definitely getting
better.
It's
the consistency of what they're like after they've melted that gets me.
Yeah, you don't want it too plastic.
It's like a bogey.
Okay, well, that's delicious. So we all know that you have a very tight bond with your family. How important are family gatherings, and is food at the center of those gatherings?
Not really.
What are you
My
doing?
My mum can't cook.
I was going to ask, like, has Sharon or Ozzy got any kind of issues?
This year's been, it's got 999. The firemen come.
Oh, so neither of them will cook. They don't have, like, a great cheesy beans on toast, or they don't have, like, a jacket potato.
I will say, though, Curtis Stone is doing this thing where he prepares these meals, and then what you do, and they come in, like, these crockery pots. And you just put each one in the oven for 20 minutes, and it's like like family style with everything.
So
you're just warming pre-cooked meals already up, and my mum absolutely loves him and loves his food, and that's what they've been doing recently. But unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to taste any of it yet.
So hang on, is that kind of Mediterranean style? We don't know.
I think it's British mostly, because that's what my dad likes.
Oh, really? Like the home comfort?
Mm-hmm. My text message chain with my dad is literally just like a list of shit we miss from England.
I was going to ask you about this. What's the shit you miss?
Oh my God. So first of all, it's the fruit and vegetables and the bread.
What? Bread is different. Or you know what? You need to go to Air One. Or is it called Air One? Or is it like the most
world? Yeah, Air One.
World's most expensive bread.
But I'll tell you this. You have an apple here, even if it's 100% organic, whatever you may be in, it's like a $5 apple. You'll eat it, it doesn't taste of anything. You come to England and you eat an apple and it tastes like an apple.
Well, we produce brilliant apples. What can I say?
But it's also, the apple is like this big in America. Right. And an apple in England is like this big.
Right.
It's just whatever they put in it to genetically modify the food to make it look more edible takes the taste away. And
really?
That kind of stuff, you really, like when you have a tomato from England versus a tomato from America, you're like, oh my God, this tastes so different.
Yeah, but you have like amazing weather. So you should, like, the fruit and veg should be ripening, and like even find local.
Yeah, but we also have Monsanto, some genetically modified insane food that is destroying the planet. It's really interesting that it is with the produce. But then there's stuff like, you know, I miss my Jammy Dodgers and my Jaffa Cakes and my Cadbury's Caramel and my Hula Hoops and Twiglets and all the stuff that you like, refreshers and fruit salads and all the stuff that you can't get here. I mean, like, I'm on my I have my ration tin. I have only got two rolls of refreshers left. But I have more Marmite than any. I've got like 4 jars of Marmite.
Well, I keep going to the shop and not being able to get Marmite, because that is the key to an amazing vegan gravy, Marmite.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Marmite and HP sauce together is a really great, I think it's vegan, but vegetarian at least, gravy. I guess dishes from your childhood, were there any real standout dishes that you, when you think of home and you think of comfort food, and that, you know, there's that one dish, like for me, my nan always made as shepherd's, well, we called it shepherd's pie, it was cottage pie. And that's my, you know, and Christmas mince pies would be my thing that really takes me back to my childhood. Like, what, is there a specific dish that you would have, or?
I think because my mom didn't cook that much, my favorite thing to eat was turkey, dinosaurs, mashed potatoes and peas.
Okay. I mean,
do you remember those turkeys?
We all went through that phase. Like, and then potato, like, waffles.
Bird's eye potato waffles. Yeah. That's like, yeah. So that really reminds me of being a little girl. But I think the one dish for me would be toad in the hole.
I love toad in the hole.
Just with mash and gravy, bisto all over it. Like, yeah, that's what I miss. Like, oh God. Like, sometimes I wake up and I'm like, what I would fucking do for a sausage roll, like a real one.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, like, I find myself saying that out loud, and people are like looking at me like, "What the fuck is she talking about?" Because they don't get it.
They don't,
like,
know.
Like, yes, I would wait in line at Greg's for the vegan sausage roll. Thank
well,
you.
Well, they've sold, you know, out, babe. They really flew out the door. Restaurant wise, where do you head back to time and time again? Like London or LA?
I'm a creature of habit and nostalgia, and it's all the places that I went when I was a kid. I still go. So every single, like, you know me in London, my first stop, what is it?
I mean, I want to say Chicken Cottage.
No, I know. I do love Chicken Cottage. It's so fucking bad. Still, it's Wagamama. It's always my first stop.
Yeah.
Wagamama. I get the chicken ramen, no chicken, and the ibikatsu. And that's
my 42 with wholemeal noodles. Add all the chili oil, all the sprinkles, and just really pig out. So you've split a lot of your time between both London and LA, and very much identify as British. But perhaps for the last decade, home has been Los Angeles. Is LA where you will be for the foreseeable? How does life differ out there?
When I have children, I'm coming home.
Really?
Oh, 100%.
What is LA serving now?
My brother's children. I don't want to leave. I don't want to miss any of the good bits. My dad's sick, so I don't want to not be here to help and be with him. But if that wasn't the case, I wouldn't be living here.
Really? Did your mum and dad love their LA lifestyle over kind of British lifestyle?
No, because we are in this constant argument with ourselves on, do we go home or not? Do we go home or not? I'm always like, yep. Please go home because then I can go home.
Really?
But yeah.
And what is it that you miss about London or like the British weather? I don't know what I'm saying.
Everything. I miss everything.
The countryside?
I miss the countryside. I miss the food. I miss the telly. I miss the way that people have no qualms about telling to fuck off and move on with it. And everything is not a production. And, do you know what I'm saying? Like, there is just a matter of fact and common sense about life in the UK that you can't get here.
Really?
Mm-mm. It's just, I'm too English. It's weird. I'm not, I love it here. I live here.
Yeah.
But I would prefer to be home.
Really? And work-wise?
And it's just my family that keeps me here.
Really? But I feel like work, you've had, you've achieved so much at just 36, from having a number one single to performing in Chicago in the West End, Fashion Police, Project Runway, Australia's Got Talent, Dancing with Stars, 3 albums, 2 books, the list goes on. What would you consider to be your biggest achievement today? Where do you consider your strengths lie? Do you consider yourself a singer, dancer, performer, actor? Like, I'm
so
curious.
See, this is the question I don't know what I am in that. The thing that I am most proud of is that I have learned to be myself.
Yeah. And do you think
whatever that is.
Has that come with sobriety or is that part of like everything you've learned around?
I think part of my struggle was my fight just to be me.
Yeah.
When everyone else wanted me to be something that I didn't want to be.
Yeah.
Or I am that classic person that will cut their nose off to spite their face, right, in the sense like, if you're all telling me to do it, I ain't gonna do it, even if it's what's best for me. That's where like my stubbornness and like the anarchist that in me that will never die comes in, and I have to remember to be more mature about what is best for me. But
yeah, have you read the sorry to interrupt, but have you read The Chimp Paradox?
No.
That is very much about the inner sabotager, the inner chimp, they call it. And it's exactly that. And it's about how you manage your chimp. It's an interesting read, but it's like, you know, you grow up learning things to be a certain way and you are reactionary and all of a sudden that becomes a habit, that becomes a habitual.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so in, like, I guess as an adult, there's a certain sense of responsibility towards yourself to change that or to recognize that you need to change that, which it kind of sounds like you have.
I have. And it's also like, nobody wants to hear a 36-year-old woman complaining about why their life isn't together. At this point in time, it's like, shut the fuck up. Get up and do it. Get up and be what you want to be. If you don't like what people are saying about you, change it. Change the narrative. You have the power to do that.
So in terms of the work you've done, the projects you've done are like, that's a...
I think one of my most favorite ones was being hired by Disney to do the voice of Hildy Gloom on the 7D, which not only was their first, the first thing they've done with the story of Snow White outside of Snow White in Disney history. I was one of the first original Disney villains of the 21st century, which is so cool in the animation world. And getting to play that character and then winning an Emmy. I didn't personally win it. I sung the song that won the Emmy for Perry Grip, who... for best like
I have not heard
cartoon
this
song. It's called I'm Not Very Nice.
Oh.
And but like they gave me this song and gave me the permission to do whatever I wanted with it. So what it was when Perry wrote it versus what I turned it into with the vocal techniques I use and the different way I sang it was, it made it more like punk rock and fun, and it was so cool to get to do that. And just to go from being the kid that parents were like, stay away from that kid, to the girl that Disney was hiring, that was like, oh, that's cool. I like that.
In terms of how you see yourself, like, you know, you're writing up your CV, you're desperately trying to get some work in, you know, what's at the top of the CV? Where are you still like going, you know, I'm a performer.
Well, first and foremost, I am a reality TV personality because that's where I started. That's what introduced me into this world. I think I shed that and then I was a singer. But now I can't talk about it, but I'm a full-blown actress. I started a project 2 months after getting sober.
Okay.
I worked with two really incredible people. Elliot Lester, who's English, he's the director.
Okay.
And Kevin Bish, who's the writer.
Right.
And he wrote Hitch. And we put together this script, and I have sold it.
Cal, that's amazing. Okay. Yeah.
And
you're going to be in it.
As Abby.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I need to get this episode out ASAP. We need to break the news. Do not tell anybody
so
else.
I promise I won't. But I am in training every day and acting classes every day and really preparing for this new thing that all starts and stops with me being good at it. So it's a lot of pressure.
But also, an amazing focus to have. And do you think
I'm just going to tell you because you're my friend rather than telling anyone else.
Okay.
I also sold 3 more TV shows this week. So
what? Where are you getting these TV shows? Just plucking them out of the air?
It's all what I did when I was in quarantine. I was like, I want to do a TV show about this and I want to do this about that. And it all happened because I just sat behind my computer and was like, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah. Cal, that's so amazing. And I mean, just to be that productive and to, you know, you've got to feel like you're in a good place to put that stuff out there.
But now it's like, it all stops and starts with me. And I'm this week that the realization of everything that is coming forward in the future kind of stopped me in my tracks. And I couldn't really get out of bed on Monday.
Meditate.
And I think that's focus. What was happening to me last week when I got that thing and went to the doctor because I didn't feel well.
Right.
Because it's like
anxiety, maybe.
Consuming me, so terrible anxiety from it all. But it's my dreams, and my dreams are finally coming true. And if it goes through,
when
it goes through, I will have 3 TV shows on one network and 1 on another.
And you look good, you feel good. It's all kind of falling into place. So you know, all the hard work is totally worth it. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Really amazing. I'm very happy for you and I can't wait to see and follow along. I was actually going to be pushing for like details about, is the Osbournes coming back to the screens? Like what's happening? There's a fashion show that's in the work. Like Osbournes, I'm getting a nod. No
Osbournes.
No Osbournes.
But
yes to the fashion.
I have something in the work.
Okay. Ooh, like reality style.
Yeah. And I also have something in the fashion world and the music world in the works.
Are these part of the 3 projects you were just saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have so much to look forward to. There's so much coming our way.
And you know me, if I don't have an excuse to get out of bed in the morning, I feel like my life isn't worth living.
So this is amazing. You've got all the excuses.
And I have to work. I love working. I love getting up, doing it, and being tired when I get to bed.
Yeah. Has there been anyone that's impacted or inspired you along the way?
My brother was a huge inspiration for me when it came to the sobriety because he knows, he's been there, but there's nobody who knows my experience better than him because no one else grew up in my family other than him.
Yeah.
And so and I really mean that. Like, my sister wasn't even around. It was just me and him. So for him, he really got it and was very understanding and patient and kind with me. And, you know, it's a very vulnerable transition into adulthood. And it was scary. So any person who was sober was an inspiration to me.
Yeah. I know that you've kind of spoken quite a lot about Joan Rivers being like a really big influence.
Huge influence on my life and the hardest thing that first it was Amy and then it was Joan. And I was just like, everybody that becomes my best friend and is so close to me, they just go. And I think that's where my abandonment issues came from, is that this and survivor's guilt and this fear of being left behind came from with all of that.
I know that kind of previous bits kind of researching this, that when you speak about Joan, like the joy and the laughter and the humor. And
oh, she was the best gift of a human that has ever been introduced into my life. I learned so much. To have her as my mentor for as long as I did is invaluable. Like, I can't even say. She made every single day worth living and a joy and exciting. And there was and never will be anyone like her again.
And finally, you're going to be making us your go-to sandwich, but you can just talk me through it. I realize if I was in your kitchen, I would really hope that you would make me it. But being as we can't, can you talk me through your go-to sandwich?
Okay, I will talk you through my go-to sandwich.
In detail.
So it depends if I'm in England or America, but if I'm in England, we'll go for the King's Mill.
Okay, white or brown?
White. You always go for the brown because you like the fanciness of it all. But I'm like, I like my white bread. So I do that, and then I put, what's that one cheese spread that?
Philadelphia?
Cream it's not cheese. Philadelphia. It comes in a...
Oh, like...
Yes, that one.
Something.
I don't know how you say it. I can't remember it. I put that on one side.
Okay.
And then I get chicken. Cut up avocado, lay that on, put cucumber on it, iceberg lettuce, salt and pepper, and then I put salad cream on the other side of the bread, and that, there you go.
What, because I, in my mind, the Kelly Osbourne sandwich, I thought it was mayonnaise, but I mean, I like salad cream, so.
I've switched, it's weird, all stuff like mayonnaise I don't like anymore.
Is it the same over there?
Yeah. I think it smells a bit eggier in England.
Oh, we like it eggy over here. Really, yeah. Eggy. Lastly, can we take a peek in your fridge?
Yeah, okay.
Because for me...
I forgot to say, one of the things that I do a lot of is juicing.
Oh, okay. Do you know what? I was going to ask you that, and then I thought, maybe that's actually boring.
It's not. I love juicing. I don't eat breakfast. I juice in the morning.
Okay. What are you putting in your juice?
Better. Celery, apple, and that's what I have in the morning.
Okay.
And then I'll do this one from Creation, which has turmeric in it because... Okay, look. So in my fridge right now, it's really bare because family dinner just happened, so we have to restock everything.
Okay. Well, I'm pleased that there's not a lot of waste.
I get, like, really cute little notes left for me.
What's the sticky note say? I can't see.
It's cooler than the fridge.
And hang on, so what have we got, some good condiments or something in there? Because I feel like my fridge is probably 30-40%.
Okay, so the most
condiments.
Interesting one is my current, we don't use the word boyfriend, so.
Okay. Lover. Sexual partner.
There we go. This is from, I think, Colombia.
Salsa sauce.
And it's like this South American
Lizano.
Sauce that he uses to cook with. Whatever he makes with that is always amazing. So that's
a green sauce.
But excuse me.
Oh, the Branston.
Don't mess with me and my pickles.
Branston pickle. And one last question. Do you still have your chicken cottage keyring?
I do still have my chicken cottage keyring. I swear to fucking God, where is it? Hold on. I do. Hold on. I found it on the keychain, and because you remember Fleur had a, hold on, I actually just found it like not that long ago going through all the boxes, and I was like, I have to fucking save this. I still have it.
That's brilliant. I love that it already came up though in the conversation that we've already covered off chicken cottage.
It's so weird. Everyone's like, what? You're so weird. Why is it that you don't want, like, anyone else would be like, no, boo.
Yeah.
I'm like, give me fucking chicken cottage and a sandwich. I'm good.
Well, this is why, you know, you're a natural fit for the show. It's like, I know she loves sandwiches. This is just, we have to get her on the show.
The art of a good sandwich is bloody hard.
Well, you know.
Nobody makes a better sandwich than you. No
thank
one.
You.
No one. Your sandwiches saved my life many times.
Thank you. And I think on that note, we can end. There is nothing else to say.
Oh, one other thing. I'm actually launching a podcast.
Go on.
And it is called The Kelly Osbourne and Jeff Beecher Show. And it is a mixture of what Beecher's Madhouse, the Osbournes, Howard Stern, and just chaos. Madness. It's fun and it's very exciting. And I cannot wait for you to, for everyone to hear that. So that'll be out February, I think.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Okay. Amazing. Well, we will definitely look out for that. So Kel, it's been, it's been so lovely to talk to you. I've loved every minute of it.
Me too.
Thank you for dishing up all the gossip. Don't you dare tell anybody else what's going on.
I promise I won't tell anyone else. You have the exclusive on all of it.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Okay. Thank you. Thank
I love you.
Have the best day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Thank you for joining me this week on The Filling. You can follow me at Anna Barnett Cooks on Instagram for exclusive visuals of my guests' fabulous kitchens and for the recipe to recreate their go-to sandwiches. And of course, subscribe to The Filling on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. The music for today's podcast was recorded by Pony Bones.